Today, markets reach for the stars again, even as the ground shifts underfoot. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in New Zealand and Australia, covering crypto and commodities along the way. This is data heavy, so strap in. Global stocks registered a strong weekly gain on Friday, while US Treasuries slipped as markets eyed President-elect Donald Trump's likely policies and their impact on the US economy. Even as Bitcoin traded near 100,000 US, as bets that Trump's administration will take a lighter touch approach to regulation. Gary Gensler plans to step down on January the 20th, the day Trump is inaugurated. MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe rose 0.33% and gained about 1.4% across the week. Europe's Stoxx 600 ended 1% higher, snapping four straight weeks of losses. All three Wall Street indices finished higher and each notched a weekly gain. Industrials, consumer discretionary, financials and consumer staples drove gains, while communication services, utilities and technology equities were the biggest losers. Nvidia, the world's most valuable company, ended down 3.2% after the AI chip maker reported strong quarterly results but issued lackluster sales forecasts, having hit a record high prior. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.97% to 44,296. The S&P 500 rose 0.35% to 5,969. And the NASDAQ Composite rose 0.16% to 19,001. In a rotation into the blue chip benchmark and small cap shares and out of tech stocks, 24 of the Dow's 30 components were higher at the closing bell, led by Boeing, Nike, and American Express. But MicroStrategy, among the equity market proxies for Bitcoin, was 6.2% higher at the close. It had spiked more than 50% the previous session before ending down 16%. Broader technology stocks were rattled by a sharp drop in Alphabet Class A, the Google stock, after US authorities made several recommendations to break up the firm's alleged monopoly in online search. CNN's Fear and Greed Index was at 61. That's into greed territory. It would need to be up 75% to enter extreme greed. And in its weekly survey, the American Association of Individual Investors said that bulls had reined in somewhat their enthusiasm. Expectations that stock prices will rise over the next 6 months slid 8.6 percentage points to 41.3%. But still, bullish sentiment is above its historical average of 37.5%, and that's for the 54th time in 55 weeks. The volatility index was down 9.54% to 1524. US consumer sentiment rose in November by less than previously reported, reflecting deep divisions among Republicans and Democrats about the path of the economy after Donald Trump's presidential win. The University of Michigan's final November index edged up 1.3 points from a month earlier to 71.8. While the latest figure is still the highest since April, it's softer than the preliminary reading of 73, based on responses collected just before the election. A gauge of sentiment among Republicans surged in November to the highest since 2021, while that of Democrats slid to a more than one-year low. Recent earnings from two high-profile retailers yielded sharply different prospects, with Walmart on Tuesday raising its annual sales and profit forecast for the third consecutive time, while Target shares tumbled after its forecast holiday quarter comparable sales and profits below estimate on Wednesday. The holiday shopping season could give further insight on consumer spending, which accounts for more than two-thirds of US economic activity. Even though inflation rates have moderated from 40-year peaks just 2 years back, higher prices are still challenging consumers, said Abby Roach, portfolio analyst at Allspring Global Investments. The yield on the benchmark US 10-year note fell to 4.404% as markets reassess future rate cuts from the Federal Reserve, given expectations that some of Trump's policies could be inflationary. The 2-year was a 4.381, continuing its drift higher. The market is now pricing in a 53% probability that the Fed will cut by 25 basis points in December, but a senior Federal Reserve official warned that the US economy is now more susceptible to inflationary shocks as businesses prepare for potential economic shifts under Donald Trump's return to the White House. Tom Barkin, president of the Richmond Fed and a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee this year, told the Financial Times that while inflation is likely to continue to decline, recent progress has slowed, as indicated by the monthly government data. US economists share those concerns, cautioning that broad tariffs on imports could stoke inflation depending on their implementation. And they also warn that mass deportations could drive up prices while hindering economic growth, potentially triggering stagflation. However, Trump and his advisors dispute those claims, arguing that deregulation and tax cuts will strengthen the economy without fueling inflation. Barkin emphasizes that the Federal Reserve should not preemptively adjust its monetary policy in response to anticipated change in government policy. We shouldn't try to solve it before it happens, he said. There was an optimistic outlook on the US economy from US bond giant PIMCO and said favor stocks and some other risk assets while seeking protection against inflation as the new US government could implement policies that would put upward pressure on prices. In fact, the S&P 500 has gained over 24% in 2024, putting it well ahead of benchmarks in Europe, Asia, and emerging markets. At 22 times expected future earnings, its premium to the MSCI index of stocks of more than 40 other countries stands as its highest in more than two decades. And US Global Wealth Management, though, expects the S&P 500 to hit 6,600 next year, driven by advances in AI, lower interest rates, tax cuts, and deregulation. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, rose 0.43% to 107.49, with the euro down 0.56% to 1.0421 after falling to a 2-year low as the dollar gained after gauges of business activity were released in each region. A gauge of the US manufacturing sector compiled by S&P Global increased to 55.3 this month. That's the highest level since April 2022. But a similar gauge for the Eurozone sank to a 10-month low of 48.1 in November. Oil prices climbed, settling at a 2-week high, driven by the intensifying Russian-Ukraine conflict, as President Putin said on Friday that Russia would keep testing its new hypersonic missile in combat and had a stock ready for use. Brent futures rose 1.3% to settle at $75.09 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate rose 1.6% to settle at $71.17. Gold prices had its biggest weekly gain in over a year as US gold futures settled 1.4% higher at $2,718.05 an ounce. European equity markets closed higher on Friday as well, despite investors digesting weak economic data as well as the intensifying conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Data released earlier on Friday illustrated the economic woes that Europe is currently suffering from, pointing to further interest rate cuts by both the European Central Bank and maybe the Bank of England. Germany's DAX rose 1% and the UK's FTSE gained 1.4%, while France's CAC 40 climbed 0.6%. The pan-European Stoxx 600 index jumped 1.2%, that is its best daily performance in nearly 2 months. And European real estate stocks surged, propelling the benchmark index to a one-month high on Friday. The index had lost over 4% in the last 4 weeks due to a combination of factors, including rising uncertainty over the Ukraine-Russian conflict, large economic implications of the US President-elect Donald Trump's proposed tariffs, and domestic growth-related woes. But Eurozone business activity took a surprisingly sharp turn for the worse this month as the bloc's dominant services industries contracted and manufacturing sank deeper into recession, according to that survey on Friday. The preliminary composite Eurozone Purchases Managed Index, compiled by S&P Global, sank to a 10-month low of 48.1 in November. That's below the 50 mark separating growth from contraction. Earlier in the session, data show that Germany's economy, the largest in the Eurozone, of course, grew less than previously estimated in the third quarter, expanding by just 0.1% in the third quarter of 2024, down from a preliminary reading of 0.2%. In the corporate sector, Thales stock fell 3.5% after Britain's Serious Fraud Office said it has launched a formal investigation into allegations of bribery and corruption involving the multinational aviation and defence electronics giant. And Vinci stock fell 0.2% after the French construction company issued a new set of divisional guidelines for its energies segment, surpassing existing market expectations. Games Workshop stock surged more than 16.5% on Friday after the games manufacturer reported an upbeat trading update for the 6 month ending December the 1st. NatWest Bank was down to 390.70 as British retail sales fell by much more than expected in October, dropping 0.7% on a monthly basis. That's the sharpest decline since March, when sales fell by 1% from May. A monthly rise in sales in September was also revised down to 0.1% from previous estimate of 0.3%. The Office of National Statistics said retailers across the board reported that consumers held back on spending ahead of the new government's first tax and spending budget on October the 30th. The Bank of England cut its base rate by 25 basis points to 4.75% earlier in the month, and the market is pricing in four more reductions in 2025. Inflation was reported higher, though, thanks to rising energy prices to consumers, with more inflationary pressure ahead, so maybe rate cuts will be slower. Most Asian stocks rose on Friday, buoyed by strength in chip making and cyclical stocks. Japan's Nikkei 225 added 1.2%, while the TOPIX rose 0.8% on gains in tech and cyclical sectors, but both indices were down across the week. Economic readings were mixed, with consumer price index data reading slightly higher than expected for October, with underlying inflation rising further of the Bank of Japan's 2% targets. Sticky inflation is likely to invite more rate hikes by the Bank of Japan, and a meeting is scheduled for December. But other data show Japanese business activity shrank for a fifth straight month in November, as demand from private sector companies remained stagnant during the period, with the Purchasing Managers Index data showing manufacturing activity shrinking by more than expected in November. Services activity also barely expanded during the month. Bank of Japan Governor Kuzo Ide on Thursday said that the bank would scrutinize data ahead of its rate review next month and seriously take into account the impact the Zen moves could have on the economic and price outlook. South Korea's KOSPI rose 1.2%, buoyed by an over 4% jump in memory chip giant SK Hynix, as it tracked strength in NVIDIA. Chinese stocks lagged, with the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite indices losing 0.5% each. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index shed 0.2% as sentiment towards China was quashed by a lack of details on more stimulus measures. Chinese equities may have bottomed out after surging to two-year highs last month, but their outlook remains volatile amid persistent doubts over more stimulus and economic growth, according to BCA research. A Donald Trump presence in the US is also expected to provide more headwinds for China, especially given that Trump has vowed to impose steep trade tariffs on the country. The country is experiencing a liquidity trap, which makes monetary easing less effective, BCA said. The brokerage warned that China-related trade, such as commodity prices, remained vulnerable, with an economic recovery in the next 6 months appearing unlikely. Even if Chinese stocks have bottomed, their performance will be very volatile and risk-adjusted returns will be poor, BCA research wrote in a note. Chinese Shanghai's CSN 300 and Shanghai Composite indices rose sharply in early October, hitting two-year highs after Beijing announced its most aggressive round of stimulus measures, but Chinese stocks have since relinquished the bulk of their gains amid doubts over the scale and implementation of the planned measures. A recent round of fiscal measures from Beijing also largely underwhelmed the markets. India's Nifty 50 index added 2.25% on Friday after the index had slid to over five-month lows on Thursday. The Nifty was also nursing steep losses through October, having fallen into correction territory after losing over 10% from a September record high. most Asian currencies were muted on Friday as the US dollar remains near a 13-month high, while the Japanese yen steadied after consumer inflation came in slightly above expectations. It was last at 154.76. The Chinese yuan-US dollar pair rose 0.1% and was near a 4-month high. The yuan has depreciated as much as 1.8% against the dollar so far in November, as those middling signals on Chinese stimulus measures also weighed on local markets. Now, New Zealand's economic activity shows little signs of recovery despite significantly lower interest rates, with many sentiment surveys still languishing in recessionary territory. For the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, this underscores the urgent need for less restrictive monetary policy, with inflation expected to be anchored around the midpoint of its 1-3% target range, and with projections of another 170 basis points of cuts this cycle, the board may be tempted to cut by more than the 50 basis points, with an 84-day gap between its November and February meetings. In fact, the risk of a 75 basis point cut looks underpriced ahead of their announcement next week, particularly given the bank's history of surprising markets under Governor Adrian shock and awe. Based on its own forecast, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand sees the neutral cash rate, where it's neither restrictive or stimuli, for the inflation outlook at 3%, which it expects to reach by late next year or early 2026. Now, a rally in oil prices on fears of an escalation in the Ukraine-Russia conflict pushed energy stocks higher, sending the Australian share market to a fresh closing high on Friday. Australia's ASX 200 benefited from a shift into economically sensitive sectors, despite Australia's PMI data showing a contraction in both manufacturing and services activity. The S&P ASX 200 jumped 0.9% to 8,393 at the closing bell, resetting Tuesday's record of 8,374. The index climbed 1.3% across the week. The All Ords closed 0.8% up. Of the 11 sectors, only technology fell. That was largely driven by a 12.4% plunge for software provider WiseTech to $121.74 after the company downgraded revenue and earnings forecast for financial year 25 at its AGM. Founder Richard White apologized to shareholders for the scandal engulfing the billionaire, as the company blamed the media distraction for delaying the launch of key products. Energy was the standout performer as Russia and Ukraine exchanged missiles. South 32 leapt 2.7% to $3.83. Woodside added 2.2% to $25.05. And Santos jumped 1.8% to $6.92. Whitehaven Coal leapt 3.6% to $6.91. Bullion also rallied on the back of rising geopolitical tensions, pushing local securities of Newmont 1.4% higher to $66.68. Newmont is the world's biggest gold producer, which last year acquired Australia's Newcrest. Gold drew support from Bitcoin surge towards $100,000 as well. In other commodities, index heavy BHP advanced 0.4% to $40.16. Rio Tinto added 0.6% to $117.18. And Fortescue rallied 1.1% to $18.31. Iron ore futures in Singapore was at $100.20, down 1.77%. Elsewhere, the big four banks rose, with Commonwealth Bank scaling a fresh peak of $159.16. It ended the day 1.8% higher. As Christopher Joy wrote this week, Australia's major banks are not just rich, they are the most expensive banks in the developed world, according to Barrenjoey analyst John Mott. The big four major bank stocks trade on average at 21 times their 1 year forward earnings, which Mott said is a world record. Commonwealth Bank, the perennially overvalued retail darling, trades on a price earnings multiple of 26 times, which makes it the most expensive bank in the developed market. The big four major banks today, average returns on equity are around 11%. Their cost of equity is about 10.5%. That's according to Barrenjoey. So what explains the market's much higher valuation, wherein CBA currently trades at 3x book value? Well, one candidate is that implicitly government guaranteed banks should command a lower cost of capital, which they do in practice, although of course this is not bulletproof. The A2 Milk Company was the top gainer, up 13.3% to $5.45 after lifting its revenue forecast and starting a dividend program thanks to strong product sales and higher global dairy prices. It was the company's best one-day gain since 2018. And cloud connectivity provider Megaport was the second biggest laggard behind WiseTech, despite reaffirming its financial year 25 earnings outlook. UBS cautioned that the company's hiring plans could erode the company's margins over financial year 26. Megaport ended 9.5% lower to $7.57. Afterpay owner Block, which is viewed as an ASX crypto proxy, rose 2.2% to $140.25 on Friday. The Aussie was at 65.02 cents against the US dollar and 51.88 cents against the UK pound. And the two-year bond eased back to 4.113, even as more analysts push back their RBA rate cut expectations into the latter half of 2025. Cryptocurrency markets are bracing for Bitcoin to make history by claiming the $100,000 level as soon as this weekend, as traders positioned for friendlier regulation under President-elect Donald Trump. The world's largest cryptocurrency topped $99,000 for the first time before easing back slightly. Bitcoin has gained more than 40% since Trump won the election on November the 5th, while the broader crypto market has added nearly $1 trillion. The $100,000 level is held up as a milestone by advocates, some who have long argued that the role of cryptocurrencies play as a modern-day store of value is underappreciated. That is despite skeptics pointing to the prevalence of digital assets in enabling money laundering and crime, epitomized by the collapse of platforms including Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX 2 years ago. The $100,000 mark is really a stake in the ground for those who have been fanatical about Bitcoin for many years against some pretty stiff opposition, not just in the US, but across the world, said Caroline Bowler, chief executive of Australian crypto market BTC Markets. And in fact, the fresh momentum in crypto markets overnight was propelled by confirmation that the current US Securities Exchange Commissioner Chairman Gary Gensler plans to step down on January the 20th, the day Trump is inaugurated. Mr. Gensler was widely viewed as the driving force behind a crackdown on the sector under President Joe Biden, marked by a string of enforcement actions against crypto industry. Trump's vocal support for the sector has sparked a rush into crypto products, with a dozen US exchange-traded funds investing in Bitcoin, attracting net inflows of $5.8 billion since Election Day. That's according to data compiled by Bloomberg. That group's total assets have reached around $100 billion. Meanwhile, Australian Bitcoin ETFs have taken in $54 million in the month to November the 21st. Gensler's leadership was marked by an aggressive crackdown on the cryptocurrency industry. Last year, he oversaw a record 46 enforcement actions against crypto companies, and his tenure saw successful prosecutions of major industry figures, including the jailing of FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried and Binance's Chinping Zhao. In a September BBC interview, Gensler characterized the crypto industry as being rife with fraud and hucksters and grifters. The crypto industry, which became 2024's largest corporate campaign donor, has invested heavily in shaping its regulatory future, contributing at least $119 million to crypto-friendly congressional candidates. Christian Smith, chief executive of the Blockchain Association, expressed enthusiasm about Gensler's departure, but criticized his litigation-heavy approach to industry oversight. Trading activity remains robust across major exchanges, with Bitcoin's open interest reaching a new record high of $63.5 billion. Samson Mao, a vocal Bitcoin advocate and the CEO of Jan3, predicts Bitcoin could reach $1 million within the next year, especially as momentum builds following its approach to the $100,000 level. But this, to me, is the epitome of the confusion that's in the markets at the moment. Valuations are very stretched, and some of the fundamentals are shifting under our feet. So I still think a bit of caution is warranted, Although, of course, there is lots of cash out there, thanks to very high debt levels, and that cash has to go somewhere. It may well be that we continue to see strong volatility in the lead up to the end of the year and into next year. And whilst people are betting on Trump doing various things, of course, he doesn't get in until January. So expect more volatility over the next little while. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.